listening to the Cougar Preview Show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's your Cougar Preview Show right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Talk BYU football. We do it every Wednesday from 1 to 3. I know. We're all getting used to it. We were 10 to 2 for a while. Now back to 12 to 3. Cougar Preview Show, Wednesdays from 1 to 3. You preview shows Thursdays from 1 to 3. And then Friday, it's Football Friday. We get a little loose. Have some fun.
So I just doing a little bit of study on Washington State, where they were when Utah played them. Has that been 3 weeks ago? It'll be 4 weeks from the time that Utah played them. But, yeah, 3 weeks ago, correct?
Yep.
So 3 weeks ago, where Washington State was then as compared to where Washington State is now is kind of interesting. They've really fallen in almost every statistical category since they played the University of Utah.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, and I'm just looking down. You would think it would be the opposite, right? Because they've put together three wins since losing to Utah, but their numbers have continued to tumble. Anyways, what I try to do is I try to get a baseline of all numbers for teams that local teams, in-state teams are playing, you know, all the different statistical categories, third down percentages, fourth down percentages, and on through turnover margin and all those things. And I would have thought Washington State would rise in so many categories, but they're just continuing to fall.
That's interesting to point out. Because it's a team that, how about this? Washington State, as you pointed out, 25.7 points per game. That's what they're scoring.
How much?
25.7.
Okay.
Guess what they're giving up per game?
28?
25.7.
Oh, interesting.
By the way, you come down here to Tim Daly Infinity, you hear that engine? That's a QX80.
It's a purr.
Yeah.
That thing just purrs, doesn't it?
They just sold this beautiful white QX80 in front of us.
It is absolutely a
so
beautiful
just
car.
For a second, they're going to back this thing out. But, I mean, look, they scored 23 against Utah State, only 14 against USC, only 13 against Utah, and then they've gone on a hot streak, beating Cal 21-6, and then they've got 30s on the board last 2 weeks, 31-24 against Oregon State. And 34-31 against Stanford last week.
And this Oregon State team is pretty good.
Yeah.
I was just talking about their rushing defense, number 20 in the country. They only give up 105 yards a game. They do give up 277 yards through the air. So it was a bad matchup for Oregon State.
Yeah.
With what Washington State is trying to do. But, you know, I tend to look at the opponent, but – when we're doing these preview shows, I really like to focus on the team that we're actually doing the preview for. And there's a lot to be worried about with BYU right now, just with different injuries that they're going through. I was looking at the three defensive linemen that were injured. And I don't know what their status is. I know that Kalani Sitake was talking about Palu, I think it was. Said we don't expect him back, but there's also Tuioti Mariner and Gabe Summers that were injured last week. And as you saw, Scotty, BYU just can't afford to lose any linemen, offensive or defensive linemen.
No.
Now, I talked about the depth at the offensive line just with the understanding that the depth of the defensive line was self-explanatory. It was already questioned if they had defensive linemen that could replace Kyrus Tong. You know, coming in with that offensive line group is like, oh, no, they've got so-and-so. I said, yeah, but you can't have any one of those guys get injured because once you lose them, you don't have somebody behind them. Well, on the defensive line side of things, it was like Gabe Summers has worked his way into a scholarship over the last 2 years. He had to walk onto this team, and I actually think that he was a recruit that was missed on.
Oh, yeah.
That's my belief. He was recruited by every Ivy League school. Because he was so intelligent, every Ivy League school threw scholarship offers at him. He could have been at any one of these big-time universities with an athletic scholarship that actually has football or, you know, some type of sport.
Tell you what, if Harvard comes to you and says, hey, we want Rock to come play here, and he's going to have his – I mean, the level of competition is going to be trash, but
– Yeah, but
– But that education.
That's a good one to have.
Some doors that get opened up there.
So, sorry, that kind of got off track a bit, but with those guys potentially out, and we'll see what happens with them, with not knowing what's up with Harris LeChance or Joe Tukuafu, even though I'm starting to feel better about thinking that they're going to be back in the lineup. I know that this is Washington State. They are on a 3-game win streak. This could be Colorado State. This could be New Mexico. And I would be worried about not BYU losing, but who's going to be on the field for BYU?
Yeah. Nope. I think that's honest concerns whatsoever. And it just seems like sometimes you get a little snake bit at certain positions, and that offensive line really concerns me. And it concerned me with the University of Utah going into the season just because Kyle Whittingham expressed more concern about it than I thought there was. And then obviously that bore true, that Utah's offense, now they've got things settled down. This BYU offensive line over the last 2 weeks really concerns me. And one thing about Washington State is they've got a good defensive front. They're big, they're old, and it's a strong group.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that they struggle with, and Utah State was able to gash them a little bit with the run, but it took later on for them to wear out against that Utah State front. But they've gotten better, and I worry a little bit about, and I never thought I'd say this, but I worry a little bit about this BYU offensive line based on what we've seen over the last 2 weeks.
How do you think that Washington State defensive front will match up? Okay, let's consider it is the same offensive line that we saw last week against Baylor.
Okay.
So you're looking at James Impey at center, Connor Pay, and Clark Barrington at the guards, Campbell Barrington, and Blake Freeland at the tackles.
So you're going to say LeChance is not back?
I'm going to say LeChance is not back.
And that's just you speculating.
Yeah, that's a possible chance he could be back. I'm just saying it for the sake of conversation. How would they hold up against this Washington State defensive front?
Well, they are giving up. Washington State is giving up 4.4 yards an attempt, as opposed to a Baylor team that was giving up, what, like 2.7 or low 3, somewhere around there. I still think BYU should be able to run the ball, but I thought they'd run the ball against Boise State because Boise State was putrid against the run, and BYU couldn't get the running game going. Baylor did have me concerned, and I picked Baylor to win that game because I thought BYU would struggle offensively, and they did. I think BYU should be able to run the ball against Washington State. I don't think that's an unrealistic expectation. I think they should be able to run the ball, even with that starting five that you mentioned.
It's just weird that the run has been vacated. I know that there were limited plays to be had last week against Baylor. What was it, Scotty? 55 total plays that they ran or something? And I understand it against Boise State. I do wonder if Tyler Algier is totally healthy, because if I've got Algier on the field, all right, so rank BYU's weapons. Because if I've got Tyler Algier on the field, I feel like he's my primary weapon.
I would agree with that.
And then I would maybe go, I know Puka Nacua has made a real push, but I know I've gotten weapons at probably Neil Powell, maybe Puka, and then Gunner, and then Isaac Rex.
Isaac Rex.
But Algier is still my number one threat.
It all begins and ends with Tyler Algier.
And there were so many times, I mean, you and I just kind of sat down and we're watching with the eye that we've got to watch with, you know, the mind and the eye that we've got to watch with. But there were multiple first and tens where it was a running opportunity with a 6-man box or a 5-man box. And and BYU opted to throw it. I don't know if they had keys or if they had signals or if they got things that they're reading and defenses that they're reading that puts them into a passing down. I don't know. But Tyler Allgeier's carries were extremely limited. And he's, in my opinion, BYU's primary weapon, along with that offensive line. And against Washington State, my hope is if Tyler Allgeier is healthy, which sometimes it feels like he's not because 15 carries isn't enough for him, if he's healthy, then give the ball to him. You know, the other thought I had, Scotty, you bit off a couple of 40-yard chunks with those big throws to Puka. You know, if those are run plays that get you to 40 yards, then you're adding another 5 yards, 4 or 5 yards per drive, which adds to your overall total, so you'd be somewhere around 65, 70.
Yeah.
Because you're just throwing the ball up and getting these large chunks, which is great, but I don't know. I like, as an offensive lineman, I like just going to battle with that run game. And I'm hoping that BYU finds it again with Tyler Allgeier and just shoves it down Washington State's throat.
There's nothing that sucks the will to live out of a defense more than like a 15-play, seven-and-a-half-minute drive that ends in a touchdown.
Yeah, and there's nothing that you can explain away more than they hit one 45-yard pass on us and scored. We stopped that 45-yard pass, and they got 0 yards. You know, you can explain that away at half. But when you're sitting there at half and you've given up 3 drives over 12 plays for 21 points, and you're all looking around like, we couldn't stop that. That was not good. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't we stop it? Where's the leaks? And it's like, well, the leaks are everywhere. They're hitting us from every gap and every angle. When we feel like it's a blast, we're getting pulled off a counter. And we can't – every time we're making a guess on a slant, we're hitting our slants hard, and we're getting washed, and they're hitting the cutback lane on us. Like, those are the frustrating moments. I can sit there and at halftime – and I can explain 21 points away off 3 receptions. I could be like, they caught 3 footballs on us. That's it. That's all they've done. They caught 3 footballs. We had multiple drives. We're controlling this. We're going to come out and have. We're gonna bust them. But that game against Baylor, it was like, here's a long, deep throw. Here's a long, deep throw. And that's not the BYU team that I saw that kicked Utah's butt in the trench.
No. Nope. Did some great things against Arizona State in the trench.
Yeah. They need to get back to that against Washington State.
It's interesting, too, when you're an offensive coordinator, and I always feel dumb when I talk about this because I'm sure, you know, Aaron Roderick may be in his car somewhere and be like, what is he talking about? He doesn't know anything. But I will say human nature – leads you to believe that you're going to spend all this week. And Brandon Doman was the one that actually brought this up once. And you spend all week and you get creative as heck and you watch all this film and you game plan and you're like, you know what? We got him here. We're picking on this guy. This safety's bad. This corner we can hit over the top. And you come up with all this stuff and you're really fired up. You love your game plan. You think your guys can execute it to a T and you've got it dialed in. You're fired up. And then you go out there and you realize, oh, we're getting like 4 or 5 yards a pop with the run game. But I got all this other stuff. And Brandon said this, and that's why I'm like, I'm not speaking on my behalf. I can see how it happens. I'm kind of referencing Brandon Doman. Sometimes when you spend all week and then it's the simple things that are working and you're like, but I got all this other stuff that I want to squeeze in there. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying that's happening with Aaron Roderick at all. I'm just saying I could see how it could happen with an offensive coordinator that you abandon your running game because – I don't know how much fun it is to call a running game, but you got all this other stuff that you want to work in and you can hit over the top and Puka's going to be here and we got a mismatch here and let's go. When in reality,
a little flea flicker.
Exactly. When in reality, you just give it to Tyler Allgeier and do his thing. I always think one of the best coaching jobs that I've seen here in the state of Utah was Utah in the first year in the Pac-12 when they had Norm Chow and they had really nothing at quarterback. And yet they had John White. And they're like, we're going to find ways to get him the ball and run like crazy. And they did, and they won 9 games that year, their first year in the
Pac-12. That was a Storm and Norman?
Yeah.
Norm was – he was such a mastermind at finding weaknesses and finding advantages. And then he would just – and his belief was, let's do it until they stop it.
Yeah.
So the other thought I had, kind of in that same vein, Scotty, Washington State's offense, their rushing offense is just abysmal. They put up about 100 yards on the ground a game. I don't think that they're necessarily trying to do that because of whatever manipulation of the run-and-shoot that they're trying to
Which
run.
Which is interesting because Borgie's a good running back, but they can't get him going.
They just and I don't know if it's a refusal or what, but their passing offense is good. So the thought that I have with BYU's offense is it is fun to see Puka Nacua run under a 50-50 ball. It's fun. And I like those 45-yard gains. It's like, oh, yay, that's awesome. You're in field goal. But when I look at an offense that has good passing capabilities and a good quarterback, I think Washington State's got a good quarterback. In my mind, offensively, I'm thinking, let's just keep them off the field. We'll control the clock. We did it against Utah, and Utah's a much better defense than Washington State. And how did you do it against Utah? You ran against them. You pummeled them. You kept the pressure on in the trench. And you went for 231 yards against Utah. And let's see, I just want to check Utah's time of possession. So you went for 231 yards on the ground against Utah, and you had the advantage 35-30 to 24-30. BYU had a 35-minute, essentially a 10-minute advantage.
Seems like that game was so long ago, I've forgotten how one-sided that was.
Yeah. They had a 10-minute advantage with time of possession.
Yeah.
And then you're watching this Baylor game, and you're thinking to yourself, how has Baylor still got the ball? And how did they just go? How is it even possible to be on a 42-play drive? How would they didn't have a 42-play drive, but it felt like it. And listen to this, Scotty. Baylor, time of possession, 35-30 to BYU's 24-30. It is the exact time of possession flip-flop from what BYU owned over Utah to what Baylor owned over BYU. It's almost a mirror image. And it's a mirror image almost of what we saw BYU do to Utah, what Baylor just did to BYU. So in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, you've got this beautiful identity. You've got the ability to pass, and you've got targets galore. But what is the staple? What is the base? It all comes back to Tyler Allgeier. And unless he's unhealthy, the only reason I could see Tyler Allgeier with 15 carries is if he's unhealthy. That's it. Or if a defense is just like, screw it. We don't even see receivers on the outsides. We're bringing our safeties up. We're going zero run blitz. We're putting extra big in. We're going a 4-4 set, and you're not running. Well, then it's like, okay, well, we got some speed guys. We'll run over the top of you, and we'll drop it over the top of the – and we'll force you back out of it. But teams aren't doing that. Baylor didn't do that. So I would like to see, all right, so you're going to go back and control the clock. You want more than 55 plays? Well, instead of grabbing 50-yard chunks off the pass, give me 5 plays that get me 50 yards, or give me 7 plays that get me 50 yards on the ground.
Take another 3.5 minutes off the clock in doing it.
And also take the soul out of the defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just mentioned it. You've probably, it sounds to me like you've been on the beating end of a 13-14 play drive. And you've sat in at halftime looking at your teammates like, guys.
This sucks.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, I'm sure you've been in halftime and you're looking around like, they hit us on 2 pass plays and got 2 big breaks. That's all they got. That's all we stopped those 2 pass plays. They've got 80 yards in the half. So I want to see BYU get back to what I believe they can be. And when you got big bruising tight ends like Isaac Rex, and you've got you got this offensive line, go let it eat, man.
Let those dogs eat.
What do you think What's Pullman like this time of year? Is it nasty weather?
I don't know. It was I can't imagine. It's
pretty mild when you're up there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great when I was up there.
I just think
I'm sure it's fine. It's probably similar to here.
Yeah, probably. I just think there's more of a consistency in winning if BYU can do that.
If you're a BYU fan and you're going to this game, let me just tell you this. You're going to go into that city and you're going to think to yourself, how is this a Pac-12 town?
Yeah.
That makes no sense. It really doesn't.
Have they done anything to their stadium?
The stadium's beautiful.
Oh, is it?
There's been many, and I think they're actually going another round of renovations to it. The stadium itself, it's not big. I think it seats like 34,000. It's a beautiful stadium.
Isn't it weird how like you come off the backside of that hill down into all those fraternities and it's just all it is like a
and then you got wheat fields as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
Like it feels like Southern Idaho to a certain extent. Like you just like, wait a minute. This is home of a Pac-12 school? Makes no sense. It really doesn't.
You kind of would have the feel of
Logan feels like a much bigger town than Pullman.
So I took one of my recruiting trips to Washington State.
Oh, really?
Under Mike Price.
I hadn't heard that.
And, because we don't
talk
about it.
What was that trip like?
Oh, stop.
Lloyd. I was kind of hinting at it. You don't need to come out and say it.
And out of all the trips that I took, that was the...
Yes.
Oh, stop it. Nothing nefarious happened. That was the most
I went too far. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was the most like party scene in that little fraternity. You come off that hill and it's just fraternity rows.
Yeah, that's what you were told.
I could see it from my hotel room.
Yeah. While you were reading your scriptures and drinking.
Oh, don't go too far, Scotty. And drinking what?
And drinking a caffeine-free Diet Coke.
Turn right.
Sinners.
Okay. Snow cone guy.
No, Ryan, I will not have those 12 ounces of sin.
All right, we're moving on.
Oh, wait, that's a 40 ounce of sin.
Moving on.
All right, we're live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Come on by. They've got every model, every new model is 0% financing. It's going to save you thousands. The great thing about Infinity is that, look, it's a status symbol. You drive an Infinity, you're going to feel better about your life. People are going to think better of you. You come down here and you walk away with one of these Infinities, and it's going to be life-changing. But, you know, we joke about that. But honestly, this is a vehicle that you know is going to be on the road for a long time because, look, Infinity is a great brand. Build beautiful vehicles, and then Tim Daly is going to throw in a forever warranty, which means you can own it for as long as you want. You can put as many miles you want on it, and it'll always be covered. You don't have to worry about it. And I might add, you've got a great selection ready to go. They've got a bunch of QX80s here in stock. Come check them out. Also, they've got a great used inventory as well. They've got lease options. So if you've always felt like, I don't know if I can get into an Infiniti, there's a good chance you can. But the only way you're going to find out is come on down here and find out for yourself. 4550 South State Street. Megan's got her jazz gear ready to go. Get geared up. We're giving away tickets coming up in our next segment. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's game week for the Cougars. And the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff.
It ain't over till it's over.
BYU hits the road to Pac-12 country as Kalani Sitake and the Cougars square off against Washington State in Pullman. Catch the Cougar pregame show Saturday at 12:30 with a postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Cougar football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
.975 1280 The Zone. It's your Cougar preview show. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. All right, it is time to give away jazz tickets. Giving away tickets all day long for tonight's home opener, the Jazz and Oklahoma City. Caller number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855 340-ZONE. All right, you know this man is the weather czar. He is darn near perfect on everything he does weather-wise. He's handsome. We call him coworker. It's Kevin Eubank joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, Kevin.
You guys smell like beef and cheese and live on a bed of lies. Both of you. I'm not perfect at anything. What are you talking about?
Oh, yes, you are.
You've introduced my dad. This is embarrassing.
Wait, so this isn't Mark? This is Kevin?
Wait a minute.
Call back in.
All right, so this is what happens when Hans and I just... You know, look, we run our mouth. We don't know anything about weather. We say, it should pull them in. It should be fine. You are quick to call in and say, not so fast, my friend.
First off, I listen to you guys all the time. And I know, Hans, you like pies. I don't know why, but you do. I know you like to golf, but you don't like to pay, and you like country clubs. Bobby and Lloyd love to do the sound drop, and they've got an archive that will embarrass you through eternity. So I've been a listener for a long, long time,
and I'm super excited
to call you guys coworkers. But the minute you said, "Oh no, yeah, weather's gonna be fine. It's gonna be like it's up here," you guys are nuts. It's gonna be raining up there. It's going to be in the 40s and Cougars went against and 40s and 50s. Hold on to the rock. It's gonna be a stormy. It won't be a complete washout, but it is gonna be wet and it's cold up there.
I'm so glad that you actually called in with the accurate weather, because what I was hoping when I asked Scott, what's the weather going to be? I was hoping Scott was going to say, oh, it's rainy and cold and ugly. I would say, well, all the more reason to just run the ball. Like I actually did have an angle and a reason, but then it was like, oh, yeah, it's probably about the same temperature here.
Well, it's going to be on the cool side. And, again, that's up in Pullman. When you go to Corvallis for the youth, it's the same deal. They're going to have moderate to heavy rain in the morning, which is going to wet that field down. And they're going to have rain showers through the afternoon when they play. It's going to be a wet game for both of those teams up in the Northwest. And that storm gets to Utah Sunday night into Monday. So they're going to bring it home with them.
Well, Kevin, while we have you there, how does Logan look like on Friday night for Utah State?
Sorry, you broke out just a bit. Say that again.
What does Logan look like on Friday night when Utah State takes on Colorado State?
You could not ask for a better night of football. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be dealing with some partly cloudy skies. Temperatures are going to be cool. They're going to be dropping down into the 40s by game time, but it will be dry, and it should be really, really good. It should be a great night for the Aggies.
Hey, would you be down to doing this on a weekly basis? This is probably a conversation we should have off the air.
Well, again, if you pay me in pies, the answer is yes. That's how that works. No.
I'm going to make it if I don't get this pie in me.
Oh, Lloyd.
Hey, I'm just telling you. It's a fun thing. No, I'm happy to do it. I love you guys. I love listening. I love watching. I love Utah football in general. It doesn't matter which school is playing, but I'd be happy to. And it's be a great season to do it. We're excited.
I love it. Kevin, you're the best, man. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
You bet, guys.
Kevin Eubank.
I've got half of a saline pocket in my car. I'll eat that. I'll get that in my system.
Lloyd, he said he loves ties.
No, he said pies. He said pies.
I see he's got a lot of ties.
No.
I love ties.
Nobody wants to get that tie in them. It's a pie. They want to get that pie.
Get the tie on me.
Yeah.
I got to get that tie on me.
Hey, Kevin knows the show, man. He knows the drops.
Pretty much just went down the full 8 years of our show.
it was a total show recap
for the last 8 years.
Oh, I love it so much.
Kevin's fantastic at his job, obviously.
Is everybody at Bonneville always this nice?
I know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Like, I'm waiting for, like, the mean people to come out, but everybody's been, like, crazy nice to us.
Well, what's been shocking is to find out that, like, actual prominent news people that I look up to as journalists listen to our show. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, that's getting weird information before you actually giving good information.
I mean, I just got a DM from Matt Gephardt who said, welcome to Bonneville.
What?
Like, I just don't want Matt to, like, investigate any of the background of this show at all.
Yeah, and see if he can approve us.
Don't investigate us, please.
No, that's his dad.
I think isn't he still giving the Gephardt approval, isn't he?
Sure. If Matt says something's good, then I'm down for sure.
All right. we'll get some weather going with Kevin because he's the best in the business. We'll get this show approved by Gephardt. And look, bro.
I want that little check mark. This is Matt approved.
We are flying under KSL right now. This is the best.
It's a new world we're living
it
in.
It is. Man. I feel so supported.
All right. Let's talk linebackers for BYU. You heard Ben Bywater talk about the fact that guys are stepping up. That loss of Keenan Pille, though, is still huge. And you just don't replace a guy like that.
It's destroyed parts of this defense, and right now they're struggling so bad to stop the run. Now, luckily, you're going against Washington State. And I talked about this last week. Against Washington State, you can run the extra DB, and you can have a safety play as a linebacker. And you could; those are what basically BYU was doing against Baylor. They had a safety playing linebacker. They were rotating in an extra DB or they were rotating out an extra DB. They had a mix and match of linebackers, and they were trying to stop the run, and they just couldn't. Against Washington State, I think they're going to be okay. Defensively, they match up much better against Washington State than they did against Baylor. So I still think that this team can hold Washington State under the 21 mark.
I don't think that's unrealistic at all.
And that's kind of my expectation for this BYU defense. But when BYU gets back to playing run-oriented teams, they need to find a run-oriented linebacker. And they can't keep bringing in these undersized guys that are just getting walled off. And it's not that – well, in some cases they're getting moved out, but most times they're just – getting to a spot too fast, over-pursuing a little bit, and getting walled off, which provides a cutback lane or, you know, opens up a perfect lane. And I know I'm bringing up this name because I've known this kid since the day he was born, but you've got a traditional linebacker who is a traditional middle linebacker in Cade Hoke.
Yeah.
He is not a hybrid. He is not a safety exchange backer. He is not a cover guy. He is a traditional run-stop middle linebacker. Good old-fashioned Pittsburgh, you know, strong core, hard-hitting middle linebacker. It would have been perfect to have something like that against Baylor.
Exactly.
And you didn't. You didn't have a linebacker that was meeting an offensive lineman at the one-yard mark. And that offensive lineman was like, I'm not going to leave the combo so early anymore because that sucked. That dude just killed me. And, you know, we know some of the great, all-time great linebackers. You remember Zach Thomas?
Yep.
Zach Thomas is still one of my favorite linebackers that I've ever watched play the game. Junior Seau's of the world. You know, I think that Utah is building one right now with a former BYU player's son in Karini Reed. He is going to be a beautiful, traditional, sound, fundamental, punch-you-in-the-mouth type linebacker, run-stop linebacker. And I'm hoping BYU can find that again. Ben Bywater is a tackle machine. And
by the way, didn't expect Ben Bywater to be this good this fast.
No, me neither. I didn't either, but he has really exploded onto the scene. In fact, no, he didn't quite make he got honorable mention when we were going through top 10. He got honorable mention. At that point, he'd had 35 tackles through 5 games, 3 TFLs against Utah State alone.
Yeah, he was all over the field in that game.
Yeah, 3 TFLs against Utah State. He had the big sack against Utah State.
Yep, I remember that.
And 35 tackles. That was, again, that was after that Utah State game in week 5 for BYU. And he is good. And he's continued to either be the tackle leader or second in tackles for the team. But I would love to see BYU find the traditional run-stop linebacker because that's more – Keenan Pille was versatile, but Keenan Pille could line up on the line of scrimmage because he was heavy-hipped.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're going to be careful when you refer to people that way. It's not the best adjective to describe a lot of people.
Is that unpleasing?
Well, no, for a football player, yeah. That's a heavy hip dude out there. He's big boned.
He a biggin.
Uh-oh. Did they turn that off?
You go home and tell the missus she's heavy hip. That's probably not going to go over very well.
Oh, no, baby. I'm just saying that you could take on a run block.
Still not helpful.
And all I'm saying is that you're a traditional middle linebacker, baby. That's it. No, I would never say that. But for a linebacker, that's what I want. And that's what BYU needs. They got to find that again. I'm still a little bit embarrassed for BYU against Baylor.
Yeah. That was not surprised BYU lost that game. Didn't like the way they lost it, though. That was just an old-fashioned just a
– You could hear it in Kalani's voice, too.
Yeah.
And Kalani was like, yeah, we're still not happy about that.
And I brought it up with James Empey, and we'll hear that conversation again coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. But I don't want to say that was a welcome to the Big 12, but it was a welcome to the Big 12.
Yeah, Baylor was trying to prove a point.
I think you were saying, look, okay, you got the invite, and we're glad to have you. Our AD's happy that you brought a ton of fans to the stadium.
Oh, and Baylor fans were such, pat you on the head.
Yeah.
Such a cute 12,000 that showed up to our game. What a cute fan base.
Yeah. It's like, hope y'all had your good time at Chip and JoJo's place.
Yeah. Which they did.
Which
Chip and JoJo are raking it in over last weekend.
That. Nobody's happier about BYU to the Big 12 than Chip and JoJo.
Oh. Chip's called the missionaries 4 times.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? Let's just do this.
If this is the kind of market we can tap into,
I want to be a part
let's
of
go right now.
That's the family I want to be a part of. I do love Chip and JoJo. Even when they were showing them on the sidelines, I'm like, man, they're so charming.
It's hard not to like them.
Chip especially, huh? But JoJo's funny, too, because she reminds me of my wife. Like, she'll just pick on Chip for no reason. Did you see the commercial where Chip was running? He was so excited and running towards the stadium and got hit by a car. Oh, it stopped just before it hit him because he didn't look and ran across the street.
I did not see that.
It was cute. Those two are cute.
All right. Hans and Scotty, enough of that. Coming up in about 15 minutes from
– Sorry. One last thing that point I wanted to make, because I know we got James Empey coming up and other things, and we need to get onto the offensive side of things. But last point I wanted to make – I also want to remind people that the embarrassment from Baylor came with the exit of a lot of defensive linemen. Like I mentioned, Earl Tuioti-Mariner, Jacob Paulu, Gabe Summers, Lorenzo Fatea, who did not dress, did not play again. Was that 5 guys I just mentioned?
Yeah.
You know, those guys are all off the field at one point or the other, and you can't have them off the field. And with those guys off the field, you're going really deep into your second line of defense. And they're trying to do full line rotations, and they're trying to keep guys fresh, but you can't go that deep. So the BYU defensive line injuries caused a problem. It wasn't just missing Keenan and Peely. Those guys need to get back and healthy. Again, they'll be okay against Washington State. There's a couple games coming after Washington State that you won't be okay.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You'll hear from James Empey coming up in about 15 minutes. You'll also get another chance to win Jazz tickets coming up in about 40 minutes from right now. We'll do that at 2:30. We're live here at Tim Daly Infinity. 0% financing on every model here. And if you're looking for a new Infinity, Hans, there's no other place you can go. It's all right here. This is the only Infinity dealership in the entire state of Utah. If you're looking for an Infinity, and you should be, this is the place to go. Now, if you're thinking, I don't know if this is fits my price range. Well, one way you can find out, you come down. They've got, again, 0% financing. They also have lease options. They've got offering more for your trade-in than anybody else. Also, a great used inventory as well. And that includes all makes and models, too, not just Infinities. So come down, check it out for yourself. Tim Daly Infinity, 4550 South State Street, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Frank Dolce, Ute Insider Analyst for the Zone Sports Network.
As I look at this Oregon State team, clearly we know what they want to do as far as their offensive philosophy going up against Utah's defensive philosophy. And Kyle, since he came out of the womb, they asked him, hey, what do you think about life? He says, you got to stop the run.
PK, here's what we should do. We need to make up the Ten Commandments of Kyle Whittingham. And that would be...
Thou shalt stop the run.
Thou shalt not allow the run game. Yeah.
On this hang like all that. The football law and the football right. coaches.
Thou shalt not turn over the ball.
Thou shalt get four and a score.
I'm sure we could come up with a quality list.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. You're listening to the Cougar Preview Show with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
It's Cougar Preview Show. We do it every Wednesday now from 1 to 3. If you're thinking, oh, I just got the back end of Hans and Scotty, the show's over. No, my friend. New hours for our show is our old hours of the show. We do it every day from 12 to 3 right here on the Zone Sports Network. And, of course, coming up next at 3 o'clock, it'll be Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Stay tuned for those guys. They're going to be a blast, and I can't wait. People are, you know, I know that they've got a great following with what they've done for years under the KSL call letters, but bringing them to a different audience and introducing them to so many of our great listeners. You guys are going to have a blast with Alex, and you're going to learn a lot from Scott. And I think you guys are going to be entertained and informed. And it's just a great part of the family.
There's a couple of people that I've always wanted to work with. And in this business, it seems like we've all kind of worked with each other to a certain extent. But Alex Keery, I think, is one of the most creative, outside the box, funny people in radio, period. Whether it was the old Nightside Project or Unrivaled, I think his ear for radio and his creativity is just through the roof. And he's not only going to make an impact in that time slot, but he's going to make the whole station better. Like, he's just an asset that I'm really fired up about. So excited to have him, and certainly Scott Mitchell and his what he's done and his history and what he brings to the table with his experience is absolutely phenomenal for us. And then the other person I've always wanted to work with, and we have tried a bunch of times, is Ben Anderson. And getting Ben with Jake every day from 10 to 2 and welcoming him into the fold, he's as much of a jazz authority as anybody else out there. He knows the game of basketball better than anybody else, and really fired up to have his presence on the station. Him and Jake sounded great today. Mm-hmm. You know, usually sometimes you throw a new show together and you're like, you know, it's going to take a little while to gel. The instant chemistry, great creativity. It's going to be a fun show.
You throw a new show together and all of a sudden it looks like Westbrook on the court with Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
I see what you just did there.
And it's like, holy cow, that does not work at all. It was last night was a really bad situation. Sorry, I've got a dry throat, buddy.
Oh, okay.
I've got a very dry throat. I apologize. Yeah, no, I feel extremely good. It's just I've been so excited and speaking. I don't maybe my salivary glands aren't producing the moisture.
Maybe spent a little too much time on the elliptical this morning.
Well, I did a little bit.
What does that sound like?
No, I'm not going to. No, we're not doing that. It's not a good
sound. Are you ready?
That is so disrespectful. That is disrespectful.
That one was an accident. I wasn't quite sure what that one was. Sorry, bud.
You knew exactly what that was.
Lloyd, you don't do anything by accident.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I just played a disgusting drop of yours. You know there's a dump button. You could dump that.
I did.
So, Scotty, kind of jumping back into this a little bit.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about this in the Cougar Preview show yet. Washington State having to go into this game without their head coach and four of their assistants.
That to me is, and I know it's getting overplayed a little bit, but it's the biggest story of this game, don't you think? I mean, we can talk about their rushing attack and we talk about all that stuff, but the fact that not only do you lose your coach, but four critical assistants, that is a big storyline in this game.
A head coach and four assistants. It's big time. So I was having a conversation with somebody who is connected to BYU personnel, okay? So he knows the BYU program pretty well. And I was asking him what type of influence they expect this to have on the team. And this individual said to me, well, Hans, something that a lot of people don't realize is that through the COVID year, or through even last year at times, we had coaches that couldn't travel and couldn't be around the team because of exposure, or one reason or the other. And he said, and things went fine. When they weren't there, they went fine. As long as the leadership is in place and they know what they're supposed to do, things can go pretty good without coaches. So I totally understand that. I totally get that. And he's right. Scotty, you know there were multiple coaches that were taken off that sideline for a period of time. Some that missed games. And we've seen teams go through this before, and it's a bit unpredictable. But this is a different story. This to me is a completely different example or sample. You're taking the head coach away, and you're taking the four assistants away, and you're doing it under very publicly broadcast circumstances.
Yes.
And I think that adds a whole different layer.
And it's not football related.
They've
won three in a row going into this game.
It just feels like this storyline is going to be a distraction. I think it's going to be difficult for the kids. I feel bad for those kids because I know that they loved Rolovich. We talked about Rolovich and how great of a guy he is. And we talked about Mark Weber and how great of a guy he is. And those kids are used to coming in on a game day and getting the rah-rah from their head coach, Rolovich, or however he does. And he seems like a guy that would keep guys loose and not make a situation real intense. And then getting quick instruction from your position coach. The quarterback coach is gone. The guy that your quarterback leans on for instruction, he's gone. The offensive line coach is gone. You got five guys that don't have that coach. It's like, so what did we decide? If safety shallow, what did we decide on that? I don't know. What did we decide? I don't know. Because, you know, you see BYU, they like to run that four linebacker set. They'll bring a safety shallow. They'll go one high. What did we decide to do on that on the backside blocking scheme? Well, I guess we could do this. Like, those are the types of questions that you need to have your coach there on game day. Or if your center is that good or your tackle is that good, you can lean to them and be like, hey, what are we going to do on this backside if this is the look we see? Did we figure that out? Oh, yeah, coach wants you to combo and break off or whatever the game plan might be. I don't have that guy.
No.
And there's five total. So it's a different – to me, it's a different feel than having COVID take three assistants off the sideline. And we never saw a game without Kalani.
Nope.
We did see a couple of games without head coaches.
Correct.
But they could be on the phone from wherever they were, right?
I believe so. I believe they were able to do that.
Because if I remember right, when they were taken off the field for COVID reasons, I feel like they still could have a presence. Nick Rolovich will have no presence. None. I think that that's a pretty tough thing for these kids to deal with.
You're going to hear from James Empey coming up next. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 2 o'clock hour straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.